Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for bringing us together this evening. May you be with us this evening as we open to your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart, loving Father, bring glory to you. Amen. Right, we're looking at Romans 8. And what we're going to look at this evening, if you can keep your Bible open to those, are those three headings: the ministry of the Spirit, the indwelling Spirit, and the goal of our justification. You know, in our studies of Paul, of Romans, Paul took us through the most difficult terrain, from the dusty spiritual wilderness into those endless, unsatisfying, open grass area of our lives. And in Romans 7, Paul described to us the unhappiness of trying to live the Christian life in our own strength. He said that we are helpless to overcome the deadly disease of sin without God's grace, and equally powerless to please God without His Spirit. He writes in verse 18, chapter 7, that nothing good dwells in me, for the willingness is present, but the doing of good is not. And in my own Christian journey, I have discovered that wretchedness seems to be a necessary way point, because I came to a place of complete hopelessness, trapped in my inability to live in a way that pleases God. And I labored under the weight of condemnation, the most demoralizing feeling for a Christian or a Christian can bear. And in my wretched state, I surrender, knowing very well that I cannot live a Christian life. And it was only then did I accept this declaration in Romans 8. Therefore, there is no condemnation in those who believe in Christ. A platform for every believer's new life in Christ. It is the truth on which we stand. Slide number 2, please. The truth on which we stand, by which we live, and through which, ultimately, we will achieve victory. In the self-portrait of a defeated and exhausted man of chapter 7, Paul reminds us of two natures struggling for control in our lives: the flesh, our old nature, and the spirit, God's gift within us. And in Romans 8, he describes the power that God has provided to help change this struggle to our advantage through His Spirit. And yes, there will be challenges, confusions, and believe me, the good news will only get better from here forward onwards. Because of these reasons, the ministry of the Spirit. Therefore, there is no condemnation. You see, it is easy sometimes to feel demoralized, because each time you go out, you always have that feeling that because you have done something wrong, those who know you very well is judging you. There's that feeling is always there. But to know that God, knowing very well, knows you from inside out, tells you that if you received His Spirit, there is no condemnation in you, I think should give us the confidence that no one, whoever that person is, can use your past sins and your present failures to judge you in front of God. Why? Because your new life in Christ does not depend on your performance, but depends on what Jesus has already done for you on the cross, and depends on your faith on him. So no condemnation, that means I have been set free. Free from the law of sin and death. Verses 2 and 4. See, the law cannot save us. If anything, the law weakens our spirit, weakens our body. That leads us to death. And God knew that. And because of that, Jesus Christ fulfilled the requirements of the law. That's the reason why Jesus came, to fulfill the requirements of the law. And that's why in baptism, as we heard this morning, we are reminded that walking in Christ means dying to sin and rising up to a new life. And as you are raised up to a new life, you will be walking by the Spirit of God that empowers you to live a holy life and become productive. So, free from the law of sin and death. And that takes us back to Romans 12 ahead. That our mind will be controlled by the Spirit of God. Verses 5 to 11. Now, you see, where you set your mind determines how you live your life. Is that true? Where you set your mind depends on it, will you be like? If you get out in the morning and you look miserable, you will finish the whole day being miserable. Because your mind is already there. You set it there. See, the old nature will never give up. It will not accept that it's defeated. But we can live with confidence. Confident in the Holy Spirit that it is much stronger than we give him credit for. But the question for you tonight as believers is this: to whom will you give the control of your life? To whom? To help us as we make up our mind, Paul says this: those who live according to the flesh sets their minds on the things of the flesh, implying that that leads to death. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. The implication is that life and peace. Verse 6. You might have heard people saying God helps those who help themselves, implying that you can be righteous if you try hard. You can achieve godly things, godly objectives with the I can do attitude without God. However, the well intention of our human nature may be, we must not forget that it was hostile to God. From the very first beginning, our human nature was hostile to God. And that's why in chapter 3, verse 28, Paul says this: a person is justified by faith apart from work of the law. It is faith that justifies us before God. What about the indwelling of the Spirit? Verses 9 to 13. See, as God's Spirit now lives in you, we have access to God, to God's mind. And therefore, that demands kind of obligation to the Holy Spirit. It is not that we should do good works for God. It's not that at all. The obligation is that for us to allow the Spirit to do good deeds on our behalf, through us, that we may become more like Christ and share the blessings of his life. And that's why Paul meant when he wrote to the Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6. I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. See, what the Spirit will do in your life has already been planned a long time ago. It was already there, waiting to be activated for you to say yes, and the Spirit begins his work. He has the desire and the ability to bring it to completion, and it is a promise. Your only responsibility in this line is to let him do it. Don't stop him. Somebody used to describe that. Many Christians have invited God into their house, into their hearts, but they have not given all the keys to the Holy Spirit. We can allow the Holy Spirit to go in the kitchen because he can. That's a public place. So in our sitting room, yes, he can stay there. But not in our bedrooms or in our study room, because we want to hold that to ourselves. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to be a visitor to you. He wants to be part and parcel of the family. He wants to help you do good things. He wants to change you. He wants to change us to be like Christ. So if we only give part of our house, part of ourselves to God, we have not given anything. He is still a visitor. But if we all heartedly give it to him, then he changes our lives. And he's willing to complete it until the coming of Christ. Now, verses 14 to 17. This is the goal of our justification. See, Paul now turns to tell us the benefit of being justified, the practical benefits of living in the Spirit, in verse 14, that you will be led every single day by God. And I believe many people think that God is the Father of all men, or all human beings. Do you deny that? Do you believe that God is the Father of all human beings? I don't. I believe that God is the creator of all human beings. But he is the father of those who are led by his Spirit. So that's the difference. He's the creator of all of us, but he is the father of those who are led by his Spirit. And those who actively involved allow the Spirit to change them will bear the unforgettable fruit of that leading, of peace, of joy, of love, of self-control. You don't get it at one stroke. For the entirety of your life, it is this visible fruit that assures you that you are indeed the son, the daughter of God. That's the benefit of being justified. God will lead you every single day of your life. In verse 15, we find that the fearless intimacy with the Father, with God, verse 15. Through the Spirit, believers are adopted into God's family. In the Roman culture, the adopted person loses all his or her rights of birth. We are all parents. And you gain all the rights and the legitimacy of a child in a new family. And that right is to call God your father. Abba, Father. And as a child, you have an obligation to become involved, in the family, contributing in the family. You don't act as somebody new, somebody who is just waiting. You have become part of God's family, and you need to be involved in the things of God. As I said this morning, I have a friend. His name is Colbert. He's a very young kid, very smart. And this guy, Bear, knows what it means to have a relationship with his father. He knows. Whatever he sees his dad, you can see how he changed. You absolutely see how he changed. There was a day when we were having a footprint service here, and Bear was here, but dad wasn't. Mom was there as well. But Bear started crying. Dad, daddy, because he had a, I think he had a sense that his daddy was supposed to be there at that time, but he's not there. Where is he? Where is daddy? And when daddy walks in, his moods completely change. And that is the kind of relationship that God wants us to have with him. Verse 16, assurance of belonging to God. See, as soon as you become and you believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit raises up your dead spirit to life. It is through your spirit that you experience God, the presence of God. It is through your spirit that you experience the blessings of life. So that the Holy Spirit can rule or control your life. It is through your spirit that the Holy Spirit will speak to you, reminding you that you are a precious son, a precious daughter of God. Whatever the world is telling you, whatever your friends are telling you, the Holy Spirit will be there. Remember John, remember Joyce, you are precious to God. There is no condemnation. Don't let it stick on you. And verse 17, a continuous reminder of our value before God. See, through adoption, believers have become co-heirs with God, with God's only Son. And through our identification with Christ, we stand to inherit everything that is due to him. Everything. And this includes his life, his character, the fruit of the Spirit will be ours. His glory. That's why he said, I am going to prepare a room for all of you. Because time will come, I want you to be with me, to share my glory. And his suffering. See, as Christians, we have two kinds of crosses to carry. Thank God we don't carry both of them. The first cross was our old self, was the cross of our old self, where Christ was nailed onto, crucified with. He jumped in and said, I'm going to take this one. Because you cannot bear this, I can do it. The second one is the cross that we need to carry. The cross of suffering, the cross of persecution that comes to us because we follow Christ. It comes to us because we follow Christ. And that is the cross we are supposed to carry with us every time. That's why Jesus said in Mark 8, 34 to his disciples, if you want to follow me, it is your choice. Then deny yourself. Know that your strength cannot bring you before God. But take up the cross and come and follow me. And this cross that we are supposed to follow God with. Now, I know all of us are at the crossroad now. We are standing there waiting. We are after verse 1, chapter 1 of Romans, chapter 7. Here we are at the crossroad. Paul has brought us here. This is the turning point. You may be still be wondering, where should I go then? What should I do? When should I do it? Why? Who to follow? And how? Don't look any farther. Romans 8 gives you guidance to do. For where to go, it will say, go to God the Father. For what to do, acknowledge that you cannot. Your strength cannot please God. You cannot keep God's law. When should I do it? Right now. Today. Why should I do it? Because it is an investment that you cannot afford to miss. An investment that you cannot afford. And whom should I follow? Jesus Christ. Because he paid all your debts, past and present, and in the future. And how should I do it? Repent, believe, invite Christ into your heart. That's all it means. You don't pay anything. So, if you can do all of those, or if you have done all of those, then go back to the first verse of Romans. There is no condemnation for those who live in Christ. Amen.